In Hebrews 9:22 we read, "It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." In Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, I want to read a story that the Lord Jesus told while he was here. Now there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. This means he dressed in good clothing, he lived well. A certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yes, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now here he is comforted, and you are in anguish. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us." And he said, "I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they should come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead." Perhaps you've often wondered what happens when a person dies. And there are certain things that medical science can tell us happens. Perhaps you've even had the experience of watching a person die. And you've seen his breathing become slower. And you've realized all his bodily functions are just slowing down. He's dying. And finally the time came when there was a gasp, perhaps, and there was death. He stopped breathing. The heart stopped pumping. And within a few minutes, medical science says that the brain itself begins to die, begins to deteriorate, and soon the body is dead. And we bury it, and we say the man has died. But the Bible says there's more to the man than just the body, that this is a house in which the spirit lives. And the Bible says that forever and ever, you as a person are either going to be with God or away from God. And that when you die, it does not mean there's the stopping here of conscious existence. Your body dies, but your spirit either goes to a place of comfort or a place of torment. Now let's notice a few lessons from this that we've been reading. The first, I think we can say this: death is inevitable. Death is sure. Here was a poor man, a beggar. He was about as low as you could get in those lands. He had nothing. No one cared for him very much. He lived by scavenging from the garbage that was thrown out. He survived as long as he lived by searching through the garbage, the trash that people threw out, the leftovers. And he managed to eke out an existence. He had nothing as far as this world was concerned. The death was sure for him. He got these sores, these boils, or whatever the nature of it was, and time came when he died. He breathed his last. He died. And perhaps someone walking by said, "Hey, that old beggar over there died. You remember how he used to sit outside that rich man's door and wait for the garbage to be thrown out? He's dead." And someone finally came along and hauled him off, and we don't know what happened. He may have just been thrown out in the city garbage heap. We don't even know that there were any loved ones that cared enough to come and bury him. He died. But death also came to the rich man, and he had all the resources that this world can offer to prolong life and to postpone death. And he may have had the best of medical care. He may have had doctors. He may have had everything that his civilization could offer to postpone death, and I'm sure he used all he could avail himself of, because all that a man has he'll give for his life. How we cling to life, how we hate to give it up. And yet the time came when he had to die, when he had to release his grasp upon life. And when this rich man, no doubt surrounded by loved ones and lying upon a bed of luxury, cared for in every possible way, the best that money could buy, and yet the time came when he died. Death is inevitable. It's appointed unto men once to die. And you that are listening to me are going to die one day. How we cling to life, how we hate to die. No man likes to think of dying. But unless you know Christ as your Savior, there's a terror connected with it. I think of a man that I knew in a hospital who had an incurable disease, and I remember standing there once by the bed, and the doctor came to see him, and the doctor motioned me to stand aside. He wanted to talk to him a few minutes, and this man knew he was dying, but I still remember him saying to the doctor, and he raised his voice, and he was pleading with the doctor, and he said, "Oh, doctor," he said, "I don't want to die. I don't want to die." He had a wife, he had a young daughter. He wasn't an old man. He says, "I don't want to die." And the doctor could just turn away with sorrow on his face. There was nothing he could do. The man was dying, and he died soon after. The inevitability of death. We need to be ready to die, and we need to be ready for what's on the other side of death. We need to be ready to face God, because death is sure. Death is sure. It's appointed unto men once to die, and you have an appointment with death. There's a day, there's an hour, there's a minute, there's a second when you're going to die, and your soul is going to leave this body. Are you ready? I'd like to also just mention that there's a finality about death. Your chances to change your destination are here and now, not after death. The Bible knows nothing of a purgatory. The Bible knows nothing of a second chance. There's a finality about death, as the Lord Jesus told this story of these two people. The rich man, even though he pleaded in the afterlife, he cried for help. He prayed as earnest a prayer as you can imagine anyone praying. He pleaded with Abraham. He's seen here as standing in the place of torment and looking way off in the distance and seeing Abraham and those that are believers with him in a place of comfort. And as he looks way across this great chasm to the other side and sees them, he's pleading, and he says, "Oh, Abraham, send Lazarus. He's a beggar. He was a beggar there at my door, but maybe he'll help me now. He was a beggar then. I'm a beggar now. Oh, send Lazarus, just to cool my tongue, just a drop of water, just a drop of water." But there was no hope. Once we die, once we leave this life, the Bible says there is no hope of changing our destination, our eternal destination. We do that here and now. We do that while we're living. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. When you die, my friend, that's it. Your destination is sealed then. And so with these two, at the moment of death, they no longer could change their destination. While you live, you can. It is true, while there's life, there's hope. There's hope that you can become right with God. There's hope that you can come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. There's hope that you can be sure of going to heaven, that you can know your sins are all forgiven. But once you die, there is no hope. And so the picture we have here that the Lord Jesus gives us, and he was compassionate, and I'm sure that he wasn't trying just to scare us, and he wasn't just trying here to paint a livid picture. he didn't want to do anything to just frighten people, but he wanted to tell the truth. And the truth is, when you die, if you're not right with God, there's no hope. There's eternal punishment. This is the picture given. Now, let me just say this, that in this passage, he speaks of Hades. And I'd like to point out to you that when a person dies without the Lord Jesus as his Savior, he goes to this place of punishment, a place where he's kept for the day of judgment. He's kept here. It's sort of like a city jail where prisoners are kept until their trial comes up. And then after the trial, they're sent to the state prison when their penalty is laid down. And for the sinner, he's kept in this place of punishment, this place of restraint, this place away from God, this place without hope. He's kept waiting his trial. And then if you turn to Revelation 20, you read there of this time when all the wicked dead will be raised. And I read beginning with verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death, even the lake of fire. "And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire." And here's the final judgment. Men's lives are gone over. They don't have Christ. They're cast into the lake of fire, eternal judgment. But even now, they're restrained in this place called Hades, this place of punishment, this place of restraint, this place without hope. How sad. But isn't it wonderful that a person can become a Christian, that he can know his sins are forgiven, that he can be sure that all of his sins are taken care of? The Lord Jesus said in John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must believe that all he claimed for himself is true. You must believe that he died on the cross to pay for your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. That he redeemed you from the curse by being made a curse for you. You were under judgment, under the curse of God's judgment. But Christ suffered for you. He tasted death for every man. He went through the suffering you deserve in hell forever in order to pay for your sin. I wonder if you've received him. Oh, the scripture says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." He loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. Will you just now fall down before him and say, "Lord Jesus, save me. I want you for my Savior."